So here's a question. Would you rather have an intimate relationship or be the reason you have an intimate relationship? I've asked the question dozens and dozens of times, and everybody said, well, I'd rather be the reason I have intimate relationships. But nobody who answered that question in that way had any understanding of the importance or the significance of either the question or the answer. So last week, we canceled what we were doing and had a conversation with Karen. And what I did with Karen is I asked her the same question. Then I used the answer and all the things she may think about intimate relationships because she has experience with intimate relationships of one form or another and hang around information with other people who have intimate relationships, probably knows or thinks she knows reasons that they exist and reasons why they don't exist. So I could take something that she knows very much about and use it as an analogy to then discuss with Karen, would you rather have an abiding self or be the reason you have an abiding self? And in an analogy like that, everything she says about an intimate relationship, she's in fact saying to me, in using that analogy, she's saying to me, maybe to herself, all the same things about a intimate relationship with an abiding being aspect of herself. Does that make sense to everybody? To anybody?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I want to discuss that further today and a whole bunch of, well, No. I want to read you a bunch of stuff. I mean, a pile of stuff. And every page has a concept or a new idea in it that we haven't really gone over before. And I'm going to tell you right now that what we're talking about in some of this is we're looking at quantum physics from the backside. Not from the quantum physics side as it is expressed by Einstein or Planck or Bohr or Heisenberg or any of these other folks. It's the backside understanding of what quantum physics to a certain degree may be saying, which you don't really care about, and we'll go get into that. So, starting to read, I'm not going to do the questioning and answering with Miss M tonight. I'm just going to read. You're welcome. Like we said, Patrick, you don't understand a word or a clause or a sentence in the way I use it or the way I use a word. My definition, you have jump right in and ask me to clarify the use of the clause or the word or the sentence. That's okay. But I'm not going to sit and argue with what I'm saying. I've given what I'm saying too much consideration. And you don't have to agree. You probably won't agree. But that's okay. Now, the universe only reacts. If you don't accept that the universe only reacts, please show me in any way, remember, one white crow, that the universe intentionally acts. If you can't, we have to assume the universe only reacts. And it reacts again and again and again, and even reacts to its own reactions. And since each reaction only portrays the initial action or reaction, every earlier reaction or process is an analogy for later matters. And all of this is maintained in memory. In memory, not in memories. Consider the following. If two or more things agree with one another in one or more respects, they will agree in yet other respects. In other words, what I was doing, that's an analogy, by the way. So what I was doing is saying an intimate relationship is the same as an intimate relationship with, like talking to Karen, an intimate relationship with Pat, or an intimate relationship with her abiding self. That's the similarity between one, and we talk more about that in She Would Rather Be the Reason She Has Intimate Relationships, whether that's with Pat or the reason she has intimate relationships with abiding selves. So that's two. So if you have one or two easily seeable and relatable aspects alike between two, let's say, different concepts like that, then it's reasonable to say then, or to talk about what she says about her intimate relationship with Patrick or with others, or what she wants. I've said before, often you cannot get somebody to talk about themselves and their life and what they truly desire, but they'll blab on forever about their relationship, if like their husband or their wife or whatever. And that is an analogy of their relationship with themselves. So I can find out more about the intimate relationship that people are living with themselves or desire. Tell me that what you truly desire in an intimate relationship, and I'll tell you what you truly desire in an intimate relationship with life, or with an abiding self, or with living eternally. Okay. And you can make this analogy even in future ways, things that are even not yet determined. In fact, seeing likenesses permits you to observe a similarity between two separate and different things, or separate and different matters. What you know about one of two analogous events or happenings enables you to accurately infer and understand similar matters in the other that you had not previously known or realized. For instance, she can tell me exactly about an intimate relationship with Patrick, and in doing that is telling me about intimate relationship with her abiding self that she has no prior knowledge of. But I can understand that by making the analogy. And these are things that she couldn't possibly have ever sensed or considered, likelihood. But the analogy works. An analogy is a tool of expanded awareness. But it is even more than that. An analogy is a chronicle of your abiding self, before and after you. And that analogy serves as a gospel and a guide for yourself in life today. Does that make sense? If it doesn't make sense, speak right up now.
Since makes sense, yes.
Can I ask you how it makes sense?
What I've come to understand is that what I do in one area of my life, I do in other areas and perhaps all areas of my life. So the analogy that you have, that given that if I am the reason that I have an intimate relationship, then it's me that's driving that completely, and that whatever relationships I do have, if I can, it seems to make sense that how I drive one relationship, I will drive another relationship the same way.
I don't think you answered my question, so I'm going to go through this very slowly. I said, an analogy is a chronicle of your abiding self, before and after you, that serves as a gospel and a guide for yourself and life today. And then I ask you, do you understand that?
Caught me again. Yes, I understand that.
Well, then in what way do you understand that? Let me give you sort of a hint. Are you okay?
Sure enough.
All right. The universe only reacts and reacts again and again, and even reacts to its own reactions. And since each reaction only portrays the initial action or reaction, every earlier reaction or process is an analogy for later matters. Can you take that sentence and tie it back to an analogy is a chronicle of your abiding self? If it's an abiding self, then any analogy of something you already know, because the universe is only acting and reacting and reacting and reacting, and so essentially are you for the moment, then your abiding self is that constant reaction to reaction. And so, therefore, it serves as a chronicle, a history of your abiding self.
So it's the same thing as memory.
What? It's the same as memory. Doing the analogy is doing much the same thing, like it says. And those things are, as I said earlier, are all carried in memory. Now, does that make sense? Then how you use that information in your life is what you went on to talk about. But that wasn't the question. So it can then be that analogies of stuff that you've known in the past can portray you today, and the analogies you know of or living today can portray you in the future. Things you never, ever considered. Are we okay?
Yeah. So can I ask a question here then?
Okay.
Is it, in the sense that you're using analogy, I believe you said when there's two or more events or circumstances, then you can draw the analogy, then is in a sense, is it like, there is a snapshot of one and a snapshot of another, and I see all the similarities, and I can draw an analogy between.
If somebody's got an open mic or something going on.
Yeah, we hear it.
Kelly, if it's you, new to everything, go on mute, and then if you want to speak up, go off mute.
Frank.
Huh? I mean Frankie, not Kelly.
Okay.
What?
Hello.
Okay, you ready to go again, Patrick?
Yep.
And this occurs or is available to you simply because the universe is only reacting. Therefore, then, and it only shows your actions. Therefore, that reaction is a constant chronicle of yourself. Is that okay?
Yes, it is. And then it seems that then it would be possible to see a consistency over time, given that that if no changes are made, then it should really then be predictive of the future as well.
Well, it's a little more than predictive of the future, which we'll get into later. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Since you are at the leading edge of the universe's endless reaction, there is obviously somewhere a previous reaction that you don't realize or understand, which is an analogy of yourself and life today. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the abiding self you can be aware of. In other words, the abiding self, or even yourself today, is part of that endless change of reactions. Even if you action in there, in that, then the universe's response is a reaction to your action. So I can, in that regard, then say that no matter who or what you are today, there is in your past an analogy that, like a Bible, serves to inform you. It records all prior, it is a record of all prior actions in that regard that you can use and be aware of. Is that okay?
Yes.
I mean, so you understand that. We're just saying that there is an analogy, at least one that you can grab onto, that in essence says, gee, this really portrays not only me today, but it portrays what I truly desire to be in the future. You don't realize that I understand this, but that is so. And it gives you a picture of the abiding self. Now listen carefully. It gives you a picture of the abiding self you can be aware of. In other words, the analogy is there, like saying, would you rather have an intimate relationship or be the reason? Yeah, I can use that analogy so you can be aware of your abiding self. You can be. Or you can answer the question, dismiss it as, well, that's just a frigging question, so what? And you don't expand your awareness that your answer to that and what you say about your intimate relationships reveals, through the analogy, everything about your relationship with yourself as an abiding being. What greater, more intimate relationship do you have?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
When you speak of an intimate, if I'm the reason, in being the reason I have an intimate relationship with Karen, let's say, do I know anything about Karen in me having an intimate, because I'm the reason I have that intimate relationship?
No, we're not talking about Karen. I don't really give a damn about Karen in that relationship. What I'm talking about is you tell me the reason you have an intimate relationship with Karen. The analogy is the same, that is the reason you have or do not have an intimate relationship with other individuals or with yourself as an eternal or abiding being. It tells you nothing in that about Karen.
Or that, and it will tell me nothing about myself as an abiding being.
Well, yeah, it can. The same way as when you talk to me about your relationship with Karen, and I'll ask you, what does that say about you? When you answer that question, then it also would then, in that regard, say equally about you as an abiding being.
So that's how...
Wait just a minute here. I think I hear something in all of this. I've never said an abiding being was all good, right, better, best stuff. I said an abiding being is an abiding being. There's nothing about an abiding being that it is superlatively good and ever loving and compassionate. Hello, anybody?
There's a great pause here.
You're darn right, because you've always taken abiding being to mean abidingly good being, right being, powerful being.
Smarter.
And that's not true. What we want to do, first of all, and we'll get to what that means later on. But you see, I can make that, and you can't make the analogy because you want to destroy or discount the analogy. You would say, well, I don't have a real intimate relationship with Karen. Then you don't really have an intimate relationship with yourself as an abiding being. Hello, anybody? Hello, anybody?
And what would that reveal about myself as an abiding being?
That you don't have... Well, all right, let me back this up for a moment. Is it reasonable throughout all of these things to say that you are not a personal being looking for an abiding relationship? You are an abiding being looking for a personal relationship. Let's turn that around for a moment. And then you start talking to me about yourself in life. You, as an abiding being, are looking for the good, right, better, best personal being to have a relationship with. Are you that person? Are you in that way? Would you consider that you are a fine representation of yourself as an abiding being? I don't think so. But let's turn, I've said this for 20 years. Take everything you know about life and turn it around 180 degrees and you'll begin to understand what I'm talking about. And there's an example. You think you are a personal being trying to become a great being. Now I say you're an abiding being looking for an appropriate personal being to be communioned with.
Appropriate, yes. Is different than good, better, best.
I didn't hear you. What?
Appropriate is different than good, better, best.
That's right. That's... It doesn't have good, better, or best in it necessarily at all. Like I've told you a long time ago, forever living is not going to make you good and fine. If you want to be an asshole, forever living will help you be the best asshole in the world.
And in that, there is in the realm of possibilities, there is an abiding being that would find that appropriate.
Your abiding being, because you create your own... Oh, wait a minute now. I know this is going to be hard to understand. This is a little quantum physics here. You are an abiding being looking for a personal being to be communion with, but in that, you are a personal being looking for an abiding being. You create the abiding being to represent. How about them apples?
Well, there was a little bit of skip there that I didn't understand.
Of course, I said what we're doing here is we're talking about quantum physics or quantum mechanics, whatever you want to call it. But I'm talking, and Einstein's relativity too. But we're trying to talk about it in a way, in a manner of that you can understand this in yourself and life today. You can't understand that everything is a probability in the quantum world until you then, as a personal being, collapse the probability into a certainty. Now we've got Schrodinger's cat. You can't understand that, and it doesn't matter. But what I'm going to try to explain to you today is you not only are an abiding being, you create the abiding self that you truly desire, and you also, that you create the abiding self you desire, and, well, we'll get into that. Is that okay for you?
Well, then it must work both directions.
But it works both directions simultaneously, which is why quantum mechanics or quantum physics has always said it's weird, it's crap, it's too difficult. And Heisenberg says it's too uncertain. It's all probabilities, and then you make it a something. Well, that's kind of like what I'm talking about. Isn't it possible for you to understand that your abiding self is only a possibility until you make it something?
Yes, I can understand that.
Well, see, then you already understand a great deal of quantum physics that Schrodinger's cat in the box would say, well, what the hell do we care about that? But what you do care about is that you create the abiding self that you truly desire. And it wasn't there until you create it, and it won't be there until you do create it. And then it'll create you. Simultaneously.
And it will create.
Simultaneously. I shouldn't have said and.
Wow. Yes.
Well, okay. Now we just cracked the door on quantum physics on that. We're going to do a little bit more of that. I tell you, every page that I'm writing here that I'm going to read has some new ideas that we haven't discussed before. But it's important for us to discuss it, not bitch about it. Actually, let's put it this way. Wouldn't you like it to be that way?
Absolutely.
Well, okay, then. And so then it doesn't matter whether you believe it to be differently. Oh, I'm this abiding being that is going from life to life to life to life. Wouldn't you like to create yourself as an abiding being right now? And that abiding being creates you? That's no different than I said before. The self-replicating particle replicates particles that replicates the original particle. You never understood that, but that's what we're talking about. You replicate past lives that replicate you. You replicate an abiding self that replicates you. Are we getting near to understanding anything?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it, they are mutually supportive, aren't they?
I have no idea what you said.
Mutually supportive, are they? Mutually supportive.
Well, let's pass that by for a minute and only say they're mutually creative.
Okay, yeah.
There is no support for an abiding self unless or until you create the abiding... Oh, that's what's wrong. I couldn't understand you because I didn't have my ear in. Hang on there. Just a minute now. I got to turn my ear on. Okay, got my ear going. Okay, are we all right with everybody so far?
Yep.
Yes.
Well, I am.
Let's say, for instance, what is this? Is it possible for you to consider that I'm going to give you... let's pass for a minute. Is it possible for you, as I asked before, to say that there is a personal analogy that serves as a Bible or gospel or guide for yourself and life today? And you said yes. Well, maybe you can understand this. My personal analogy, for example, is... However I work my body, self, and life is how the universe is and works. Do you understand that?
Not sure.
So,
well, would you be willing to say, however I work my body and self and life today is how my abiding self works?
I would not have, up until this point, I would not have thought of that.
I know, because what you want is, you want it to be good, better, best, wonderful, great, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-everything. But you see, in understanding the, don't you understand that If we look at, and maybe you don't understand where this came from, don't you understand that 2,000 years ago I say, well, gee, I'm going to discover how the universe works. I'll tell people. And all of a sudden that becomes an analogy of, however I work my body and self and life is how the universe works. Are you willing to live in a universe that works as you work, not as it is, and that you have to figure out how it's working? Which would you choose?
The first part.
Okay. So therefore, the universe will work however you work your life. If you work your life, etc., without death, as an abiding being, the universe will be that for you. Hey, wait a minute, that's quantum physics. The observer controls the experiment.
I collapse the probabilities into...
a particular.
Yes.
Are you willing to collapse the probability in all of these things of the universe into a particular? That if you live yourself only as you live yourself as an abiding being, are you an abiding being? You can't get there from here. You have to be here. Is that okay? Well, if you understand that, and you may not agree with this, and not agreeing with it, that's understandable, because in order for you to understand your body, self, and life today, it seems you must be threatened bodily with death or harm or illness, and then dragged kicking and screaming away from the self-satisfaction of your ancient beliefs and concepts about yourself and life today. What analogy may be your chronicle and guide that you're living today? May I suggest religion? I can take the nature of religion and what you have to say about religion, assuming you're not lying to me, but what you say about religion, and I can show you that is the fundamental analogy that you are living as a loner being today, because that's the only analogy you know. Is that okay?
Yep.
In the past, whenever you heard something that went against your own concepts and was hard for you to believe, you changed what was said just enough to make it acceptable to your beliefs, but not enough to make anything truly understandable. So, as we continue in this discussion, resist your tendency to change our words to suit your beliefs and concepts. For when we use a word, it means exactly and only what we choose it to mean. Therefore, as we speak of matters that are difficult to believe, those matters deserve your complete attention, not your manipulation of what we are saying. That can all probably come later, and will. So let's begin on tonight's discussion. In Sir Isaac Newton's time, 350 years ago, and for 200 years after, and even today, his universe worked mechanically, like a machine, and could be determined and mathematically proven. And all seemed well and comfortable. But was it? Newton's universe is best described as a game of pool, or billiards, pocket billiards, if you will, in which, if you know the resting position of all racked balls, and you know the position and velocity of the break ball, and you know the reaction nature of each ball, and you know the resistance of the table and the reaction of all of the rails, then you can accurately predict the motion and position of all 16 balls well into the future. This was Newton's worldly universe, and all was well. For God was only necessary to set the cue ball into motion to break the rack, after which the universe continued reacting on its own. So everything was, well, it was just kind of well indeed, to the 20th century. So we don't want to go too fast here in all of this. If the pool table is the world, the universe, and reactions of its parts and the motion of the balls can be determined, there is a little question that science and Newton has left out of the picture. Where are you in all of this? And where is your authority and free will? For Newton's laws certainly deny your authority and free will. Do you understand that? So let's put you into the picture. You are a little kitten on the table, pawing playfully at the balls as they move about the table. And they're all moving about following Newton's laws of motion. As a kitten on the table, you're upsetting and controlling the actions of many of Newton's laws and rules. For you are not merely an observer, like as in quantum physics, watching from afar. Hey, you're actively involved in all of this. And in fact, you determine exactly how those rules and laws will be actioned. And the universe protects you and protects your involvement, such that you meddle with Newton's nice, predictable universe and science's nice, neat little calculations. You, the kitten on the table, by the way, do you have a picture of this? Pool table, yeah. Balls moving about this way and that way, and there's a kitten up there pawing at him. Well, you're the kitten, the table is the universe, and the balls are the things in the universe that are moving. You, the kitten on the table, are creating your universe to suit you. You can push a ball this way or that way or any other way. Newton's laws still apply, but you decide how those laws will operate for you. So, in that, you're creating the worldly universe. You never create your reality. Do you understand the difference between you create your universe, you never create your reality? If you create your reality, that is your personal interpretation of a worldly universe. Simply because you actually have no fundamental image or understanding of the reality around you to interpret. And you have no understanding of the reality around you to form an image of that. So you actually create an image that suits you, not an image to interpret. We okay so far? I guess not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Then, like I said, every page has got a little tough stuff on it. Then, believe it or not, there isn't even a reality for you to experience and interpret. Is that okay?
Yes.
As you experience your own creation, that is your worldly universe. How this is, we've discussed that before. In other words, we've talked about how your universe is the universe. So we won't go over that again, at least not right now. There is an appropriate history. We've done to this one before. There is an appropriate history that leads directly to you as you are today. Is that okay? I can look back and I could chronicle the history and say, that's Patrick today in his full glory or whatever. However, if you change yourself today, such as living your manifest abiding self instead of your loner self, body self and life, in that, listen carefully, you regenerate your history, the history that leads up to your manifest abiding self. Hello, anybody?
Yeah.
Is that the same like changing your past?
Yes.
In other words?
Yes.
Yes.
Your history, your past.
Yes.
You change it completely.
Yes.
It could be exactly the same for me, but it's all an entirely different history for you. It's a history for
right.
you that leads up to your being an abiding self today.
No.
It is in this way that alone that you change or regenerate your past. Actually, if you really, really, really look at it, this is forgiveness without judgment. From all of this, everything we've said, the question arises, is there a world or reality that exists independent of you? Well, remember now, you are the kitten on the table. And we can say, of course, there is a reality, a world that exists independent of you. But that is too diverse and universal to be known. Universal diversity is the reality of the worldly universe. Is that okay? Now we can go back and say the universe is so plenary that it is as it is, and it is as it is means it's universally diverse. It's not a multi-universe. It's universally diverse. Diverse is greater than just a multiple universe. And it also is as you are, like the kitten on the table. You change the rules of the game and you make the game to suit you. Any other reality that you may think you experience or interpret is of yourself. So I can take any reality that you think is of the universe, and I can use that as an analogy to understand that you're really interpreting yourself. Which may be either loner or abiding. See how simple that is? If you think that God created, like in the Bible and all of that, then that interpretation of the universe and experience is in itself an analogy for your loner or abiding self. I suspect we could say, well, wait a minute, that's your loner abiding self, not the abiding self you truly desire being. In much the same way, the foundation or essence of sentience. Sentience is a book that I'm working on writing. Because science doesn't care about you. In fact, piss off. Science says you're an interference. You control all the things that are going on. And if you're going to control everything going on, we can't see what's happening. And we can't know what's going on in the quantum world. We can't even know what's going on in the cosmic world because of you. Get the hell out of the way. Well, religion doesn't care about you. Religion only cares about God. Get the hell out of the way. The book of sentience is, let's call it a science or religion or philosophy that is founded on all the things that we've talked about. Well, what makes sense in all of this stuff if you're the kitten on the pool table that is actually controlling your universe, which actually is controlling the universe? Well, in all of this, science uses physical experiments. Man, if you can't repeat it or make it an experience and then repeat the experience, then it doesn't count. It isn't any good. Sentience relies on, like Einstein, thought experiences. If you can have a thought experience and live it, hey, you know, make it up and make it real, then it's okay. That's real. If one person, I only need one person, whether it's, and I told you before, I'll never tell you anything that I haven't and am not living in that regard. So we have one person. I'm one white crow in that regard. And if I can do it, you can do it if you want to do it. If you don't want to do it, hey, that's okay. I'm telling you, as I used to start all of the gatherings, welcome to my world. So what I'm talking about is my world, my analogy, how I can use analogies, how I can make connections. You can do the same thing. You don't have to. Well, how I can control, I'm the big cat on the pool table. Okay, and so we can use then thought experiences in sentience, which I've asked you guys to do many times, is to then describe your experience, describe your image, describe your picture. And in that, that's all Einstein ever did. Describe what happens while he's riding on a light beam. That's a thought experience. Well, let's change that from thought experience me into mind experience. Thought is based on the language. Mind is not. Okay. And so we can say by analogy and real that what is unmistakably real for even one person can be real for everyone. But until the initial thought experience is replicated, it's merely knowledge. In other words, replicated, I have to have the experience and then I have to live the experience and replicate and feel and know and understand the experience. Then I can tell you that. And if I can do it, you can do it too. You may do it in the way I do it. You may do it differently. But at least as a white crow, I'm giving you one way in which these things can be done. The aim of sentience is to offer you a... Now when we're talking about sentience, you know, we're talking about in that regard. The pool table and the cat on the table. Science talks only about the balls, the game, the motion, and doesn't have a cat on the table. That damn cat always screwing things up. Well, you're it. And so sentience says, we're not going to get rid of you, and we're going to put you in there and see what you do. And in religion, it all works God's way. No, God sets the rules and it works your way. So sentience is a way to offer you a real understandable process that can be applied to yourself and life that will enable you to be and live as you truly desire. That's all. It doesn't tell you what to do or how to do it. What I've said before, it gives you the tools so you know when you are not living as you truly desire. Normally what we do is we wait until the moment before death and say, what the hell was that all about? It's a little late by that time. The world, the universe, seems to reveal that just such a process must exist. And analogies seem to be an important part of that process. You, the kitten on the table, have the authority, and you are actually making up the action and process of life and the universe as you desire. Don't bitch. Anybody want to jump right in here anywhere? In fact,
I'm following
you. What?
I'm following very nicely.
Okay, fine. I've carefully written and rewritten and to try and get this across in some way that people can follow it all the way through. And maybe I'm succeeding. In fact, since the universe is so diverse and universal, you must do this. You must interfere with the game, the kitten on the table. You must interfere with how the laws and rules are applied and used. Otherwise, if you don't, must. And if you don't do that, you got to get off the table. And when you, let's say, die, you're off the table, the game continues as usual. But you cannot remain in life as an observer. I don't care what quantum physics says. Heisenberg be damned. Bohr, I don't care about what you've got to say. Schrodinger, of course, none of these guys are alive anymore, so I can...
Well, at least Schrodinger had a cat.
Schrodinger had a cat. Well, it was a cartoon, never mind. So, as long as you, now remember, you're the kitten, make up new rules, you continue in life. But when you no longer make up new rules, or you no longer mess with the actions and become only an observer, you, the kitten, are taken off the table and replaced by a new kitten. So the game can continue as usual. Well, just as Newton's pool balls are separate and different on the table, and the pool balls on the table are not interconnected by the felt covering on the top, on the slate top, they're not. All things in the universe are separate and different in a field of memory, which results in the belief that all things are interconnected. But they're not. But that all things are interconnected has been touted as, oh, this is really a spiritual understanding. Or it's divine knowledge. Oh, it's the truth and mystery of the universe. All things are connected. That's crap. It's all false. For the field of memory only means that, like a cell phone, you may connect to other phones by dialing. Yes, you may. Which enlivens then a system that connects you to what you desire. But without dialing, you are not connected. Analogies enliven the field of memory to make connections across time and space, but you are not otherwise connected. All things that are not connected are separate and different in their own way. But you can connect them. Or is it raining?
Yeah.
That's where I'm getting rain sound.
That'll do it.
Is the rain interfering? See anybody over there?
Oh.
Huh?
I'm here. That's me.
I didn't ask you that question.
I heard some notes.
No, it's not interfering.
Okay, that's all we care.
Good, thank you.
So, analogies enliven the field of memory that allow you to make connections across time and space that you truly desire to make, but you are not otherwise connected. There is no interconnect. All things are not interconnected. Quantum physics tries to make you think this is so, but is a big mistake, even in quantum physics, because they, listen very carefully, they think space in the universe is empty space. It's not. Well, you can maybe understand that you're not here to get in harmony with life or to get in harmony with the universe. You are here to interfere with the process and actions of the universe. To make the game of life proceed by your rules and your actions. You are life commanding the universe, and you are commanding the game in progress. Your involvement in life is not to follow the rules or to break the rules. In other words, don't fight against what the rules are. Your involvement is to make the rules and the actions. And even those things that are not known or observed directly, your actions and the actions of the little kitten on the table can be accurately inferred from the deviations of the pool ball. The pool balls follow the rules as Newton said. If there's any deviation from that, I can infer then the actions of the kitten. And where there are deviations in the rules of, let's say, your life and the world you live in, I can infer your actions accurately because you changed everything. You made the rules suit you. You have to do that. Well, let's say in a sense that you may not change the rules, but you certainly change the way those rules are actioned out. And you have the right to make up your own rules and have those rules action out. Actually, you, the kitchen on the table, kitten on the table. Now listen very carefully. You, the kitten on the table, screw up the whole game of life. Or more, you bet all this time you've been trying to find out what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to screw up the game of life. Or more precisely, we can say that your involvement controls the game of life for you. Not me. Controls the game of life. Sets it all of Newton's nice, fine little laws. While they're real, and they are correct, they are meaningless. All because of you, the kitten on the table, interfering with the pool balls and controlling the game. All laws of physics are meaningless without considering you. What is a law of physics without considering you? Because you are part of everything that makes up the universe and everything that makes up the law. Because you are the kitten on the table, and you are constantly changing and altering the game of life. Which is okay because you understand the universe did not create life. Life created the universe. And in the same way, then, you are life as a kitten on the pool table creating the whole damn game of life. How it'll be played and what's going on. Life created the universe. Well, in a minute, we're going to get into that a little deeper. Despite Newton's finest efforts, all because of you, neither life nor the universe is determinable. Except to say that you, the little kitten on the table, determine everything. Before Newton's laws, life was mystical and spiritual, and it all made sense in that way. But with his laws, though you can know more and you can do more, and we can have the technology that we have today, I've got a secret. Life is meaningless simply because as the game of life progresses, you, the kitten on the table, control how those laws shall operate. You're not an observer. You are an interference. You made the laws meaningless. Actually, you put mystery and mysticism back into life. And well, in that, all is very well again. You are far more important and mighty than you believe. For you do not create your own reality, and you do not, or your interpretation of an objective reality. You actually create the universe. And we've gone through that many times. I won't go through it again. Despite what scientists have declared for almost a century, it is not that things in the quantum world have no identity until they are observed. It is that they have no identity until you give them the identity by reacting to you. You understand that? Though it may be impossible for you to believe, if you look very carefully and intently, you will discover that the universe you live in has no qualities or conditions of its own for you to be or live. If you don't believe it, please send me a big list of the qualities of the universe. The universe is a constant and reliable environment for you to be alive in and live as you truly desire. All laws, rules, principles of the universe, including even qualities and conditions, whether quantum or cosmic, are all aspects of you. So, you show me the aspects of the quantum and the aspects of the cosmic world, and that analogy will lead me to know the aspects of you. But you don't believe that. So unfortunately, well, that's the way it goes. The universe you live in is not manied as in multiple. It is diverse, different word entirely. Which means the universe has endless qualities and aspects. So there are no qualities and aspects. There are endless qualities and aspects. The universe is chameleon-like. And being chameleon-like, the reactive universe changes in appearance and in its action according to the situations that you create. That you create in mind, and then the actions you present. This is another thing for you to do. Give the universe new material to work with. The environment of your dream is of you. Well, I was back in the house where I used to live. Every environment of every dream is the environment of you. And you expect that if it wasn't an environment. Maybe it's been a strange house, but you sort of feel strange, but not so strange. It's an environment of you. And that's what you expect of your dream. So why would you expect the environment of yourself and life to be any different? The environment of yourself and life, like your dream, is of you. Newton's laws merely interpret the universe as a consistent and reliable environment to be alive in. What you can, with your heart's content, and make it an adventurously mystical environment to be alive in, or whatever environment you want, as you truly desire. And so my question to you is this all right with you? Up to now, you've tried to live the best life you could in the environment you're stuck with. Now I'm trying to say, wait, the environment you're stuck with isn't an environment you're stuck with. That's the one you created. You live in the environment of your own creation. The universe has no environment, it has no particulars. It is so diverse and so universal that it has no particulars. Any particulars you sense and feel that is of the universe is of you. Well, does all of this sound impossible? I guess you might ask, or I might ask, must you believe only language things? Leaving all unlanguaged matters to be impossible things to believe? It seems to me that in from my perspective, you need to practice believing impossible things. It's like the Queen in Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass. The Queen said to Alice, "When I was your age, I always practiced believing impossible things. Well, I practiced for at least a half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." All I'm asking you to listen carefully and start believing some of these impossible things as the kitten on the fool's table. So, well, let's follow the Queen's advice and consider some impossible things. Max Planck, scientist, had an impossible problem back in 1900. He was struggling for years to resolve a... Was it raining? If it's getting wet under there, you may want to put the aluminum on back. Okay. He was struggling for years to resolve a problem. All of the solutions conflicted with the rules of physics at that time. Frustrated, Planck decided to, imagine and assume the solution he wanted, and see if the universe's actions would verify his desired assumptions and his images. And of course they did. And they gave him much, much more to work with. And all of that resulted in Planck's awareness that radiated energy is produced in a stream of small quanta. And he presented that. And that was extended by Einstein to reveal the particle wave nature of light. Do you understand? Instead of looking for an answer, he turned it all around and said, "This is the answer I want." And in that then, in discovering that the universe verified that answer, he also got a lot more than what he bargained for by turning everything around 180 degrees. Okay. So, as light can be shown to be a spread out wave or individual particles known as photons. This is true. Or it can even be shown to be a continuous wave of particles. By this analogy, life can be shown to be continuous or a single life or a stream of recurring lives. Whatever you choose, and just as you choose, and how you will then choose to experience light, you also choose how you will live and experience life. But of course, to experience life as you desire, you must live life or action life in that way today. The way you truly desire. And this analogy will expand further as you live your that way today. Remember, you're the kitten on Newton's pool table controlling the action of life for you. Now remember, this is controlling the action of the life for you, not controlling others or controlling actions of life for them. It's frequently declared that in the quantum world, the world of atoms and subatoms and subatomic particles and quarks and all that stuff, everything marches to a different tune. And in the quantum world, nothing obeys Newton's laws and rules. So everything is just weird. It drove Heisenberg weird. Why, in the quantum world, just imagining a particle is a particle in a place. Just imagining that a particle in a particular place creates its being there. Just imagining that particle in a particular place creates its being there. For until you imagined its being there, it wasn't there. Is that an impossible thing for you to believe? Probably. If so, if you can't believe that, just imagining a particle to be over there, it was there. If you won't believe that, or you can't believe that, this concept, this next concept, will be even harder for you to believe. But it's true, whether you like it or not. The previous statement should have declared that by imagining a particle to be in a particular place both creates the particle and its being over there. For until you, the kitten on the table, imagine the particle, it just didn't exist. And it wasn't where you imagined it to be until you imagined it there. Remember, you're not an observer in life, you are an active participant. If you don't interfere with the actions of Newton's laws and rules of life and let the universe just continue endlessly reacting to its own reaction, then life is truly meaningless. While you talk on your cell phone and surf the web, etc., and just let the life go on, then life is truly meaningless. You got to get out there and involve yourself. And like the kitchen on the table,
kitten,
make life work for you.
Kitten on the table.
Did I say kitchen again?
Yes, you did.
Kitten. Okay. Kitten on the table. Now, with all that in mind, as an analogy. This declares that imagining a manifest abiding self to be in a specific place creates your abiding self in that way and creates its being where you imagine it to be. You see how important you got to get in here and start interfering with, not just let the universe go on and your life go on according to Newton's laws and the weird stuff going on in the quantum world. You've got to get that imaginativeness of yours going. For until you imagine your abiding self, it doesn't exist. And it isn't where or how you imagine it to be. It seems you must imagine and manifest your abiding self to existence, and to exist in a particular form, place, and way. If you understand any of this, then in future analogies, you can even imagine yourself to life in a particular place and way. But you believe that this is impossible, don't you? You can't just go imagine yourself to life in a certain place. Actually, you as the kitchen on the table can do this today, should you choose to do so. If you choose to continue your loner body self and life, and not regenerate your abiding self and life, you will default yourself to a binary self and life, and to your emotions. That's the duality of life and the struggle with your emotions. And you will constantly face death. As a loner being, you are living today in God's opposing universe of cause and effect and death. The question is, wouldn't you rather live in life's universe of continuing emergent life? If you guys understand, this is what the hell I've been talking about for 20 years. The particle wave nature of radiation and of light, and the particle wave nature even of matter, in the quantum world is an analogy for realizing your personal eternal self today in the world around you. It is an analogy for realizing a manifest abiding self in the cosmic world. And it is an analogy for realizing a particular universal self in the worldly universe. In fact, that analogy will help you understand the wave particle nature of life itself. And that analogy will point to other options. Not alternatives, but options. Well, we've gone over that many times, and nobody understands. An analogy offers a completely new concept of matters that were just, they were just lying there in plain sight, unrecognized. Your abiding self, we would say, was just, it wasn't even lying there. You created it being there. But it's always been there in plain sight. But you created it being there. Actually, in a reactive universe, every emotion is a quantum analogy for things to be. So the question is, do not look at yourself and your life today to discover, well, what the hell is going on? I don't know. I don't understand all this. Instead, see what the future is. Your life today is an analogy for your future. And in fact, I don't care what these other people talk about being present, being in life today in the moment. I want you to always live ahead of yourself. Sentience is not about spirit or religion. Nor is it about Newton's laws for a completely determinable universe. Nor is it about his laws for a determinable life, which is what you're looking for. How can I learn what's going to happen in the future? How do I know that what I'm going to have is what I want? Sentience is certainly not about the uncertainty of quantum physics. How can I tell what's going on? Or quantum mechanics. Nor is it about cosmic or universal principles. Sentience is about, and that's what we've been talking about all these years, sentience is about how you do or can action all of those rules of quantum rules or Newton's rules. All those rules and laws and principles to suit the self and life you truly desire. An expanding worldly universe that only reacts is itself planary and fully constituted. That's what planary means. It's fully constituted and complete in every respect, that it upholds all actions equally. Such, well, then that the universe is as it is, and simultaneously as you action yourself to be at every moment. It's a frigging waste to find out how the universe is, and what you're supposed to be, and what you're supposed to do. It has no supposed to's. It has no rights. It has no wrongs. It gives you full authority and free will to action as you desire, and the universe will follow as you desire and action it to be. But you've been screwing around thinking that all you had to do is do the right thing, and then it would all get together. Then you would have what you want. Then, no. Get off your butt and action the universe that you truly desire. Do that by actioning yourself to be as you want it to be at every moment. Do not action and wait for the consequences. Action at every moment only as you truly desire to be. If you action and then think you can sit back and wait for some conclusion, you'll have no idea what the hell's going on, which I think kind of portrays what's going on in your life today. Okay, in this universe, not only does every ensuing moment, oh, hey, by the way, do you understand in this that we've been talking about, can you understand possibly, let's say, for a moment, we've said all of this before, so we'll say it again, that in that an expanding universe, which redshift shows that the universe is expanding, can you not see that in an expanding universe, you're living in a different universe at every moment? If it's expanding, it's different. It's a different universe in every moment. There is not a universe expanding. The expanding universe is a different universe. Oh, by the By the way, that applies to you. There was a time I read where Stephen Hawking said, oh no, come on, guys, that's wrong. The universe isn't expanding, it's making more space. What? I hope I read that wrong about Stephen Hawking. How does the universe make space? Well, first of all, if you do understand that the universe exists not in space, but the universe exists in a field of memory, and that the universe of form and stuff in a field of memory exists in space, but that's all outside of the universe. That everything in the within the universe exists in a field of memory, all of a sudden that makes sense. So when Stephen Hawking then says, wait, we're making more sense. No. We're making more memory. And when we're making more memory, we make the universe expand. When we make the universe expand, it's a different universe in every moment. Well, wait a minute. If making more memory makes the universe expand, then we don't need a Big Bang. We don't need an initial force, which we never did, which we never occurred, which we've explained before. So if it rained the universe, how does it then, if it ever rained the universe everywhere, how does it expand? And we can say, well, we know that it expands. It expands because it lives in a field, it exists in a field of memory and makes more memory, and therefore it is more memory that makes the universe expand. So, in this, not only does every ensuing moment supplant every previous moment, every universe, it supplants every prior universe, but every supplanted previous moment, which seems to be a conclusion of prior moments, is actually an analogy for every ensuing moment. Which also means then that every moment, in every moment, all actions of Newton's laws and the principles of the quantum world are supplanted and rewritten to suit you. Analogies lead you to conclusion. Now remember, I use words the way I use words. Analogies lead you to conclusion. But these conclusions are actually analogies that lead you to expanded beliefs, assumptions, and analogies, and they do not conclude. Conclusions? Look in the dictionary. Conclusions don't necessarily conclude. But you don't believe any of that. Or you don't believe most of it. Hey, I've read you 11 pages. You don't believe most of what I've said. You believe in your heart and gut. And you're in your intuition and emotion. Oh, you believe especially in your feelings. And the rest of all of this, well, it's just too damned impossible to believe, isn't it? Is it possible for you to consider that in giving up your abidingness to come alive and live as a loner being, you are living like Faust? Remember Faust? Remember the story of Faust? He was bored and depressed with life. By the way, is all this rain bothering anybody? Can you hear me over the rain?
Very fine.
Good.
I can hear you too.
Okay. Well, Faust was bored and depressed with life, and having attempted suicide, he makes a pact with the devil that for knowledge of the world and magical power, and the ability to enjoy the pleasures of life, he granted the devil his very soul. Like Faust, you struggle endlessly against things in life, and in that, you are about what you struggle against. You are what you struggle against. You are, in that then, your finest asset, your strongest adversary, and your toughest obstacle. In fact, you actually stand in your own way. And when is it possible for you to say then that in giving up, you gave up your abidingness, which is, or abiding self, which is as your soul. And doing that, you gave up your abidingness for a loner self. Any self would do, just so that you could experience your emotions and have the emotions. What I've tried to tell you, or tried to impress upon you, that the strongest and greatest emotion that you can live and be part of is not discontenting yourself. If you want the physical emotion, well, in having any self so that you could have physical emotion, you essentially gave up your abidingness. You don't have to accept what you do not want. Just don't actively oppose that. Can you not stay alert to yourself and not oppose what is not you? The answer is absolutely yes. In order to gain a self, almost any self, you came alive as a loner being. And in that, unfortunately, you have forsaken the abidingness you truly desire. And you, the abidingness that you truly desire to be. So I guess I have to ask you one thing. Does it seem wise, like Faust, to continue in that way? Now, what I'm going to do is read an introduction to what we're going to do next week. In all this, you are like Zhao. Now, I read you a story before. It's called I Had a Horse. And Zhao's whole life was based on, in ancient China, living in a certain way because his father had given him a horse. So we're going to take that, we're going to read that story next week and find out, using that as an analogy, see what we could maybe understand was really going on. Because Zhao, who had a horse and sacrificed everything for his horse, and though you may not think Zhao's story, as we've told you before and we'll tell you again, has nothing, this is a story of ancient China, so it must have nothing whatsoever to do with you. Don't be too certain. Because we can use the story of Zhao, I had a horse, and the way he lived his life in that way, and what his father Wang said to him, and what he sacrificed to live that horse. We can use that as an analogy to maybe begin to describe to you exactly what, or now maybe not exactly, but describe to you that you are missing or sacrificing a whole lot more than you ever could imagine. just to continue living your loner self just because you have one. Okay, well, next week we'll start with Zal's story. I had a horse. And what his life was like. Then we'll use that for analogy and read the story over again to see what his life was like because he had a horse. Oh, now I won't tell you what the analogy was all of, is all about. We just have to wait till next week. So, unless there are any questions, unless it's all too impossible to believe or to understand, the only thing you have to remember is you are the kitten on the table, and it is your job to interfere with the rules and laws of life as they are presented, but interfere in such a way as you decide how those rules and laws of life will be in operation. End of tonight.
I do. That was wonderful, Roger. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now everybody understands everything I said.
Absolutely.
So we won't have any arguments about this. You understand that? You got to come back to me. You're the kitten on the table.
No, I'm a kitchen on the table, dang it. I heard that.
Yeah, a number of times, didn't we?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I got you. Understood it.
Okay. Then be the kitten. Interfere with the rules and laws of life. Don't try to live the laws of life. Bye now.